It is always a privilege
to have the opportunity to look into the Word and learn. And having the responsibility of an elder, I know, is a tremendous responsibility. And there are great punishments should we speak falsely. So I pray that all of my words are true today. And what I've been reading is an amazing thing. I call my sermon today "A Detriment for Our Benefit." It's been my observation and my experience that we human beings are programmed, that is, we are created with a natural desire to survive, to seek out that which would allow us to live yet another day. And it has been this way since the fall of Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, when because of disobedience, the ground was cursed by Yahweh for our sake, producing thorns and thistles. When we began eating of it in sorrow all the days of our lives, as recorded in Genesis 3, verse 17 and following. This world was changed to our physical detriment, but for our spiritual benefit, so that we could be tested, and that our Heavenly Father, Almighty Yahweh, might know who is worthy to be called a child of the Most High. Is it not obvious that His commandment to not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a test for our primal parents? Yahweh tests us and asks, "Who knows me well enough to honor me by calling me by my name, meeting with me at the times that I have appointed, and obeying my law?" If you would turn to the book of Exodus in chapter 15, in verse 25. Exodus 15 and verse 25 says, "There he," being Yahweh, "made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them." In the King James, I believe it says, "he proved them." "And there he tested them and said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim,'" in Hebrew that's Yahweh Elohecha, "'and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes.'" Is that Exodus 15:25? Well, interesting. Okay, well, it's in there somewhere. He continues. I'll find the verse later. If you have any questions, give me a call. Where it's at. "And do what is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians." Verse 26 and 27? Okay. "For I am Yahweh who heals you. I am Yahweh Rapha'echa." Exodus 20 and verse 18. Exodus 20 and 18 says, "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for Elohim has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.' So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where Elohim was." In Deuteronomy chapter 8, and verse 2. Deuteronomy 8 and 2 says, "And you shall remember that Yahweh your Elohim led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And in the book of Judges, in chapter 2, book of Judges, chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "Then the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them," these other nations, "I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of Yahweh to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not." In Deuteronomy chapter 13, and starting at verse 1, Deuteronomy 13 and 1, we read, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for Yahweh your Elohim is testing you to know whether you love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after Yahweh your Elohim and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him." And in the New Testament, in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, we read, and this is Paul speaking, Shaul, 2 Corinthians 12, 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with Yahweh 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength, says Yahweh, is perfect in your weakness." And continuing, "Therefore, most gladly," Paul says, "I will rather boast in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for the Messiah's sake." And he concludes, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." These are amazing words of humility and strength that Paul Shaul is sharing with us. When I am weak, then I am strong. How can that be? It doesn't fit with how we view strength. We view strength as power and control and domination. Is this Yahweh's plan? To scare the evil out of us? To humiliate the pride out of us? Or to shame our willfulness out of us so we'll honor him? Not entirely. He is clearly testing us through judgment and pain. But he is also leading us in the way by drawing us to him through love, through righteous inspiration. Interestingly, there's even one place in Scripture where Yahweh asks us to test him. And that is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It reads, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me and test me now in this, says Yahweh of hosts," Yahweh Sabaoth, "if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says Yahweh of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land." Here, as a remedy for his words in Genesis 3:19, which says that we shall have sorrow all the days of our lives, he, Yahweh, is promising that our welfare is assured with a condition that we honor his will in our obedience to his word. But is that it? Is that all? Our crops shall not fail? Not hardly. Our scriptures are not farmers' almanacs. Yahweh's word is given to us for our spiritual, familial, and emotional well-being. And so, the testing continues to this very day. In fact, the tests have become more intensive. For after having been given the law of Yahweh as a marriage contract with ancient Israel so that they might live, Israel ripped Yahweh's laws to shreds, threw it in his face, and committed spiritual adultery by worshiping the gods of surrounding nations, honoring their names and their appointed times. Yahweh was moved to wrath and divorced the house of Israel, though kept the house of Judah, in spite of her spiritual adultery, so that a legitimate heir might reign someday over a new heaven and a new earth. His heir, his son, Yahshua the Messiah, was manifested by way of the spiritual and physical union between the spirit of Yahweh and a representative of his creation, Miriam, a descendant of King David of the house of Judah. Yahshua, the fruit of that union, showed us what obedience looks like. By honoring his father through obedience to the word of Yahweh, and by refreshing the word of Yahweh, by quickening it in the hearts and minds of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As found in Matthew 15:24 and 10:6. These are the remnants of the house of Israel scattered throughout the nations. The pilgrims of the dispersion, as described in 1 Peter 1 and 2. Yahshua sent his disciples out to those who are willing to keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua, as spoken in Revelation 14 and 12. That the house of Israel and the house of Judah might be one in the hand of Yahweh, as prophesied in Ezekiel 37:19. The salvation of Yahweh, Yahshua, came with the power of the mind and heart of Yahweh, quickening obedience to the law of Yahweh in those who were called by Yahweh and chosen by Yahshua, those who have the desire to be children of the Most High. With the advent of the Son of Yahweh and his promissory note for the fullness of Yahweh's Holy Spirit, however, comes a more difficult test. Yes, the requirement now, because of the additional strength given to us through the Spirit of Yahweh is to honor Yahweh, not just in truth, that is, not just obedience to the literal law itself, but to be of the mind and heart of Yahweh and begin to see the world through His eyes to the point that we die. Okay, to the point that we die to the flesh and put away the yearnings for the pleasures of this world. Did you catch that? Or was the distraction too much for you? We need to begin to see the world through His eyes to the point that we die to the flesh and put away the yearnings for the pleasures of this world. If you would go to the book of Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11 reads, "In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of the Messiah, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of Yahweh, who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the tree. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Is it not easy to understand, therefore, that in this world of sorrow and trial, we would be inclined, still being in the flesh, to seek out things of this world that might comfort us and please us? We needn't look too far to see this in our own lives. For example, how often do we walk to a destination instead of driving? How often do we go without eating? And how often do we eat food that arouses sensual excitement for us? Are any of us without warm clothing in the winter? Is there anyone who does not watch TV or movies for entertainment? How personally gratifying is it to buy a luxury item by credit? And this indulgence in comfort takes on even more extreme dimensions when we examine the world in general. We see people driving expensive cars far beyond our means, and sometimes beyond their means, attending and participating in theatrical, cultural, political, and sporting events, enjoying relaxing vacations, taking up challenging and time-consuming hobbies, and engaging in the pursuit of financial gain or theatrical fame. The world is ripe. The world is a ripe basket of passion fruit for someone seeking pleasure and self-gratitude. But is this the intent of the Almighty, to serve mankind's need for self-indulgence and inspiration based on the prosperity of physical gain and worldly pleasure? I think not. However, in saying this, is the contrary true, that Yahweh desires us to suffer throughout this life? Well, kind of. It's clear that He has put us in this place of testing, a place of living by the sweat of our brow, and that we should expect sorrow. And it may be a bit troubling to understand that, yet though Yahweh is perfect in His judgment, I believe He is also perfect in His mercy and loving kindness. Consider this. Have you ever seen a sheepdog corral a flock of sheep? This little helper, under the hand of the shepherd, directs the flock by essentially scaring the sheep to move in the direction away from it as it races behind the flock, loping to and fro. But where is the shepherd leading his sheep to? And who is the shepherd? Shall we hear from the sheep who follow him? As written in Psalm 23, Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Clearly, Yahweh, in the form of Yahshua the Messiah, is the shepherd. And this short psalm points to him leading his little flock through a dangerous place to a haven of rest, to the land of promise, to his sheepfold. Yes, we hope in the kingdom of Yahweh. But we might ask, what shall sustain us until then? How shall we overcome this world? Let me ask you, have we not read scripture verses that have lifted us up to praise the name of Yahweh and Yahshua? Have we not been brought down to the depths of humility and the resulting thankfulness and gratitude for the resounding, all-encompassing mercy of the Father through His Son? Have we not been led to forgive even our enemies, knowing that no gain in this world can compare to the gain of everlasting life? Also, have we not come to understand that in the same manner in which we forgive others, we shall ourselves be forgiven? You want strength? You want compassion? You want peace? You want love? You want understanding? You want hope? You want to know Yahweh and walk through the gates into the kingdom? Then read the word of Yahweh. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 22, Genesis 22 and verse 15, reads, "Then the angel of Yahweh called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says Yahweh, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.' Why? Because you have obeyed my voice." Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 28 and 1 says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that Yahweh your Elohim will set you high above all nations of the earth. And going down to verse 9, Yahweh will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be in awe of you. It is truly a mighty work that Yahweh is doing from the beginning and through the end. He is doing a mighty work here and now as we read the scripture, as we come to understand his plan, and as we join the ranks of believers in Yahweh and in his son Yahshua. We are fulfilling and we are satisfying our Father. We are doing his will. We are his children when we walk in obedience to him. And that's why in the book of Matthew in chapter 5 and beginning at verse 1, Yahshua explains it all to us. He puts it down in writing. He puts it down and it was written what he said. Matthew 5 and 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he had seated his disciples, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the humble in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So those who are humbled, those who are poor in spirit, belong to the kingdom of heaven. And that's not the kingdom in heaven. That's the kingdom from heaven, the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." What are they mourning for? What are they grieving and lamenting for? I think, as I look around in this world, we cannot help but mourn for the absence of Yahweh in this world. We mourn for his presence, that we might have his presence in our lives and mourn to see the world without Yahweh. Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You notice that they will not inherit the heaven, but they will inherit where Yahweh's kingdom will reside, the New Jerusalem. Verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh." Those who love Yahweh and their fellow mankind, those would be the ones who are pure in heart, who can see as Yahweh sees, and hear as Yahweh hears, and listen and care for his fellow man as Yahweh cares for us. Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of Yahweh." Who are the peacemakers? Well, certainly they're not, they are those who do not contend for the matters of this world. The peacemakers are not those who want to win the argument, who want to be the one in control, who want it their way. The peacemakers are those who sacrifice their needs for others. Verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And in verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice Yahshua says. And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Why would the world revile and persecute us? Yahshua explains in the book of John, chapter 7 and verse 6. John 7 and verse 6 says, Then Yahshua said to them, My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. Interesting phrase there. Your time is always ready. What's he speaking about in that first phrase? My time is not yet come. In other words, his death is not yet come, but your death is always ready. Verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because, why? I testify of it that its works are evil. Yahshua testifies. He is the one who has been given all power and majesty by Yahweh. And it is his testimony that the works of this world are evil. That's why they hate them. We are persecuted because as we follow the path of Yahshua, in obedience to Yahweh, the world recognizes its guilt. But instead of falling down in humility and worshiping the Almighty, it seeks to destroy us, that it may not see its evil deeds. John chapter 3 and verse 16. As I read these verses to you, I know that the spirit within them is enough to bring us down to the floor in our own humility. And it's just interesting as I observe myself reading these that I'm not on the floor, bawling my eyes out because of what is here. And these verses, as I was reading this morning, I fell in humility to understand the love that Yahweh has for us, the love that Yahshua presents to us for the righteousness of his ways. John 3:16 says, For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For Yahweh did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in Yahweh. Psalm 19, verse 105. I find that the words of the scripture are much more inspirational than my meaning can be for them. Psalm 119, verse 105, reads, Thy word, which also means thy commandment, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Yahweh, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Yahweh, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. In Ecclesiastes, in chapter 12 and verse 13, we read, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For Elohim will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." This is all we can do. This is all that we can do, is to fear Elohim, to be in awe of his righteousness, and to keep his commandments, to do his will. That is it. That is all we can do. In Numbers 6 and 22, it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, and I say to you, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So may we continually search the word of Yahweh, that we may be worthy of this blessing from Yahweh through his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah.